Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I am Dr. Vincent Medici. Happy 2016. Hope you're ready to have your mind bent, because in commemoration of the new year, I intend to do exactly that. But you who listen to my show love that experience, I'm sure. Need to flip your switch on your perception of chronic infection. Going to go back into the 1800s, deep into the history of science and medicine, and pull out some pearls. Men credentialed, men passionate, men devoted, who devoted their entire life to a perspective that has long since died, that simply lives in the annals of history that you never hear about anymore, then that affects you every single day. I'm talking about the original microbe hunters. Pasteur had competition. And out of Louis Pasteur, and if those of you who don't know, in the mid-1800s, began the career of the father of modern microbiology, Louis Pasteur. That name you know, pasteurization, the vaccines for rabies, anthrax. His name credited to many other critical developments in the history of what you get when you talk to your doctors at Kaiser, a perspective on why you have symptoms, why you have disease, and how that relates to a microbe that came from the outside, that came through the air, the water, that came through the food, that you got off a door handle and that crept into your body, and that's overpowered your immune system and renders you helpless, at first symptomatic, and then with a life-threatening disease. Now, this is called the germ theory. Today's show, I am here today to uncover the dust back into the days and times of Louis Pasteur, and show you there were men of equal prominence, if not greater credentials, if not broader, deeper, more comprehensive perspectives on disease and the germ, who concluded very different things in Louis Pasteur. Now, there's a book by Ethel Hume, H-U-M-E, on Pasteur versus a man named Beauchamp. I'm sure I'm mauling his name. Go to picture number 4. If you're new to the show, get to the website, if possible, straighttalk.cc, not.com. Again, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is, I'm proud to say, show number 241. It's about 5 years of programming. If you'll just listen, what you can gain. Go to picture number 4 on the website. Picture number 4. I've mentioned this book before. Beauchamp or Pasteur, a lost chapter in the history of biology, Ethel Hume. She had a firsthand account of the life of Antoine Beauchamp. I hope I'm sure I'm mauling the name. I apologize to those of you fluent in French. Go to picture number 6. There he is, Antoine. He was as big a man as Pasteur. Many say Pasteur stole from him. Many say Pasteur, like Edison. Those of you familiar with the infamous Edison-Tesla competition claim being that really Edison was a marketeer, a genius, yes, a very bright man, yes, but more than anything, he was a marketer. He understood business, public relations. Next to Tesla, Edison was a midget. And the two men, actually Tesla worked for Edison. And if you study that chapter in history, you see the jealousy. No, not of Tesla towards Edison, but the other way around. Well, you know the name Edison. Outside of the car, no one knows the name Tesla. The point is just the same here. The claim is made Edison was a marketer. Yes, brilliant in his own right. You see, there's a certain point where you can't take it away. The same here. Pasteur had a perception that what he was facing, that what science and disease and people who were infected with everything from smallpox to rabies to anthrax to the whole thing, that they suffered from this attack from the outside via microbes that came to the inside. Now, I'm going to scan the centuries here, starting with Beauchamp, number one. Look at picture number one. Claude Bernard, another man of impeccable credential, who lived at the exact same time as Pasteur, who was in fact a close confidant of Pasteur, at least friendly colleagues. Look at Bernard's statement in picture number three. The terrain is everything. The germ is nothing. The terrain is everything. The germ is nothing. His message to Pasteur, Bernard, Beauchamp, the message to Pasteur, stop looking at the germ. Doctors at Kaiser, stopped looking at the germ. Those of you diagnosed with some form of an infection that nobody can quite pinpoint or do anything about, stop looking at the germ. How many of you out there today suffer because you've been told you have an infection? You have multiple infections. You have biofilms of infections. You're taking antibiotics, other types of drugs, experimental drugs, and we just don't seem to be able to get the job done. Scientists, when all of this started, equally credentialed, held hands in coalitions together and said, stop looking at the germ. Now go tell that to your local doctor. Go tell that to the head of infectious disease here in Southern California. Well, maybe someone hasn't done their homework. These men, these competitors of the germ theory, had proofs, experimented, were incorruptible, were not biased. The Pasteur Institute, right from the 1800s, the late 1800s, was funded by the Rockefeller family. And that funding was with the intention of spreading the vaccination. All the way back then, rabies, anthrax, smallpox. By the late 1880s, early 1900s, the vaccine generation had come, and Pharmaco began investing off the backs of the robber barons, as we call them. There was a slantedness, and that slantedness was on the side of what you can call the quick fix theory. And on this day, January 2nd, 2016, you have to admit to yourself on some level that everybody wants the quick fix, and perhaps that's justifiable, except that the quick fix can be the ticket to the Hershey Highway. The quick fix doesn't cut it. This is what Bernard was saying. This is what Enderlin was saying. This is what Beauchamp was saying. This is what Reich was saying. This is what Gaston Nessens was saying. This is what Royal Rife was saying. And those are just some of the highly credentialed minds since the mid-1800s who were telling Pasteur, stop looking at the germ, fix the terrain. But what does the terrain mean to you? Are you curious? Are you confused? If I asked you face to face right now, what's your perception of what it means to change the terrain, to combat, to dissolve, to render neutered, neutral, incompetent, to render harmless those chronic infections that plague you, that no test seems to be able to find or define, and yet we're sure they're there? Phantom disease. that ultimately some, because they can't find it, tell you is all in your head. It wasn't too long ago people with chronic Lyme disease were told it's all in your head. It wasn't too long ago people with Epstein-Barr virus, titers into the multi-millions, were told it's all in your head. Much, much communication between microbes living in biologically harmful terrains, meaning environments within the body that promote the growth of the disease, of the germ, of the biofilm. Without respect for this understanding, many people each day are told, lady, it's all in your head. If we can't find it, it means your nausea and your fatigue and your insanity and your malaise and your just overall inability to thrive, to be creative, to function in the world. Lady, if we can't find it, if we can't diagnose it, if we can't give it a name, well, then it's simply all in your head and you're a slacker. The history of medicine has been like this. And people suffer, they suffer today. And yet look at these scientists. Look at these pages here. Bernard, Enderlin, Beauchamp, Reif. Look at Virchow, picture number 11. Picture number 11, Dr. Rudolf Virchow, the father of modern pathology. If I could live my life over again, I would devote it to proving that germs seek their natural habitat, diseased tissue, rather than being the cause of dead tissue. In other words, mosquitoes seek the stagnant water, but do not cause the pool to become stagnant. Dr. Rudolf Virchow, the father of modern pathology. How much better can you get? How much better does it get? What does it take to get modern perception of disease, of the germ theory, to reevaluate itself? On the tip of the tongues of dozens of people, I mean, you don't get any bigger than Virchow. Claude Bernard. You may be able to attack Reif. You may be able to attack Nessens. You may be able to attack Enderlin, although you shouldn't, but Virchow. And if you really get on the inside of it, I'm talking about where it counts, in the bar rooms, at the swimming pool, and you talk to pathologists today, they'll tell you the exact same thing. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows that when you go to your doctor and they hunt your infection and they come up with nothing, there's another perspective. And if you don't jump on that perspective, you're going to be hunting for that microbe that you're never going to find for many, many, many decades. Now, here's the thing. We don't want to create a rift here. It really isn't the germ theory versus the terrain. It really isn't that way. They both have meaning. They both have meaning. Now, that's the theme of this show. To uncover and resurrect the dead, yet vital tenets, but to show you, to ask you, to integrate them into what the current model is today. There's a reason the current model is the current model. But there is also a reason that the terrain theory was pronounced dead 150 years ago. So it's a labyrinth. You have to navigate your way to health. If you live with chronic disease that is mildly infectious, or infectious in fact, whether you have named infections or infections that are mysterious, meaning on the basis of symptomology, the doctors suspect infection, but they can't quite isolate it. They can't quite put their finger on it. You have to absorb the show deeply. Let's continue our little journey here on January 2nd. 2016. All right. The first man, Antoine Beauchamp. noted that in the blood, there were these little bubbles floating around in the blood. And he called these little bubbles. I'm going to show you pictures of these little bubbles today. We have lots to do here. I want you to go to the top of the show. I've got videos. Video 1, video 2, video 3, video 4, video 5. Click to view the full article on the history of pleomorphic theory. Click to view the full article on the Enderlin cycle. That's where we're going now. So you got to go to the top, just under the title of the show. Go down 1 video, 2 videos, 3 videos, 4, 5. Line 6 is the history of the pleomorphic theory. I want you to hit the Enderlin cycle. Click to view the full article on the Enderlin cycle. Excellent. Now, this is Dr. Gunder Enthelin. He was a microbiologist in Germany, 1900s. Joined by many microbiologists at the time, many a medical doctor at the time. I'm not talking about iconoclastic, isolated maniacs who lived way out in the middle of the Swiss Alps or the desert somewhere. Spoke to no one, integrated with no one, outcast, ruined, miserable. No, I'm talking about credentialed scientists, including medical doctors, who shook hands with their neighbors and had colleagues and wined and dined and discussed. I'm not talking about quacks. You have to understand that. You have to let history here give you a perception of process. Now, Enderlin is saying this. He's saying that when you look at somebody's blood, and you're going to see some clips from this today, when you look at somebody's blood, what you're seeing in the blood is often the part of a cycle that goes around in a circle that begins. I want you to go to the 12 o'clock position. Go to the 12 o'clock position there on this life cycle and go to just the left of the 12 o'clock position. Those little dots there. They're called protits. P-R-O-T-I-T. You can see these in the blood. When you take a drop of live blood. Now, live blood versus stained blood. When you talk about looking at things under many microscopes, electron microscopes, those samples are dried and stained. The notion was Enderlin. The notion was Beauchamp. The notion was Bernard. The notion was Rife. The notion was Nessens. The notion was Reich. That if you looked at the live blood, unaltered, under high enough magnification, you would see a whole world that otherwise you wouldn't know about. That was the contention. And that is what even someone with a low-powered microscope can do. It doesn't take a lot to see a protit in the blood. I'll show you pictures of them, videos. You can go on YouTube. Go on YouTube and look up the word somatid, S-O-M-A-T-I-D. Just YouTube it, somatid, S-O-M-A-T-I-D. Look at protit. Look at light field microscopy. And you'll see things in the blood that modern infectious disease, that hematology, that microbiology today overlooks. I know that sounds crazy, but they overlook it. So let's move and then let's see a few pictures here. Look at this protit. Now, what this cycle says, what this perception of infectious disease, meaning what hurts you, was saying, what Enderlin was saying, was this protit can move to the left, even more to the left, even more to the left. That protit, starting at the 12 o'clock position, can move all the way into, now I want you to go to the 6 p.m. position on the clock there, on the cycle. Go from 12 down to 6, and just to the left of the 6 o'clock position, just to the left, you see the word macrosynprotid. Macrosynprotid. It's telling you that if you look at someone's blood in the serum of the blood, where it's viewed more easily, in between the red blood cells, in the blood plasma, you can see these protids. But that if the terrain changes, and this is what the point was, if the terrain changes, and what does the terrain mean? It means change the indices of your health. All the things you do to make yourself healthy have to be addressed specific to you. My 241 shows are all about changing your terrain. Hopefully, by the end of the show, we're going to run the checklist, the 2016 checklist. Are you sleeping? Are you pooping? Is your visceral fat low? The terrain. Back then, the men who study microbes are saying this terrain controls the microbe. And you can tell how you're doing based upon, well, whether these microorganisms are in the protid stage or are they starting to shift into other forms because the terrain is becoming increasingly defective. Now look at the word macrosynprotid. Macrosynprotid. I'm going to show you macrosynprotids. To see macrosynprotids, what I want you to do is go to picture, is go to video number two. I want you to go to video number two. So go to the top of the title page there. Thallus is the first video. Here's the second video. It says macrosynprotids. And I want you to take a look at this. Lower the volume. You don't need to listen to the words. You need to listen to my words at the moment. And simply click this on, macrosynprotids and blood sludge. Let's do this together. Just click it. Now, at 2 seconds into it, 3 seconds into it, 7 seconds, stop at 7 seconds into it. Stop at 7 to 9 seconds into it. Let's give everyone a moment. Let's do something you never do on radio. Relax. Gotta talk fast. Let's talk slow. Let's let the concept go really deep into you. Let's go to the second video. Let's go to 7 seconds, okay? Now pause it at 7 seconds. Now click it on. Now click it off. Do you see those little circles? Those little bubbles. They look like bubbles. And they're bouncing around in this person's blood plasma. Let's look through. Let's let this whole video ride. Start at about 7 seconds and look at these bubbles move back and forth. We call that in science Brownian motion, if you remember from the fifth grade. Brownian motion. These little bubbles bubbling back and forth. Those are macrosynprotids. Look at them. Look at the bigger bubbles. Okay, click and move. Look at those bubbles. I'm on 11 seconds. You see the red blood cells? Those red blood cells are stuck together. That's not a healthy condition. And those big bubbles are showing you it's not a healthy condition. So the film is going back from the bubbles to the clumped blood. From the bubbles to the clumped blood. And I'm already running out at the end. And I want you to do this again. I want you to just take your cursor to number 6. Go to 6 seconds and turn it on again. 6 seconds. Now turn it on again and watch the bubbles. If that person were healthy, those bubbles would not be there. If that person were healthy, those bubbles would not be there. Now keep that in mind. Now I want you to scroll back down once again to that article on the Enderlin cycle. Just click to the Enderlin cycle. Now take a look at that page again. Now go down to the 6 o'clock position. You got it. Happy New Year. Macrosynprotids, there they are. Somehow, those things have appeared because the terrain started becoming. You see those words just above there in the 6 o'clock 6 o'clock position, congestive deposition. Those protists in a terrain. This individual suffered from some form of an infection. She spent a ton of money trying to find out what the name of the infection is. She has symptomology that's terrible, that's threatening, and nobody can tell her what's wrong. And that's my point. This individual, who incidentally has traveled all over the world, who incidentally takes wonderful care of their health, who incidentally is in the holistic arena, who incidentally has been to at least 3 or 4 different parasitic infectious disease centers to try to understand what's wrong, and they've come up with nothing. And this is my point. They're looking for the germ so they can isolate it so ultimately they can kill the germ. That is a mistake. You can spend decades looking for that and come up with nothing. I know people who spend decades and simply exhaust themselves. They exhaust their resources. They exhaust their creative force. They exhaust their money. We've got to get to the terrain. Now, this individual, her terrain, having moved from what we call the protid stage into the macrosynprotid stage. That's what you were seeing there. Macrosynprotids. That's the beauty of this. Now, I didn't make this up. I didn't invent it. I'm just passing it on. And I do what everyone does. I study. I experiment. I study, I gather knowledge, I look to see what works. That's what these men did. Enderlin did that. Virchow did that. Bernard did that. And they ask themselves, if I don't get the result, I'm going to change my perception. And anything I say would be the product of experiments that have repeatedly showed me that there's something there. Now, after that, it can get fuzzy. After that, you can take your experiments, your observations, off into places that can make both sides wrong. It's kind of simple, isn't it? In 1928, Fleming saw that Streptococcus would be rendered neutral by fungus. And that was 1928. By the 1940s, Grandpa no longer died of pneumonia because of antibiotics. Now, I want to make this very clear to the holistic community. I think it's self-indulgent. I think it's pompous and ignorant to knock drugs when drugs work. Which is why it's not about the germ theory versus the terrain. It really isn't about the germ theory versus the terrain. It's about absorb what's useful. On 2016, I'm asking you to understand how to absorb what's useful. And it is certainly not useful for this individual whose macrosynprotids you just saw. It's not useful or effective for her to spend the next 10 to 20 years of her life looking for someone to tell her exactly why she has infectious disease symptoms, even though we can't find the microbe. When she should be working ardently to change the terrain. What good is changing the terrain if we don't even know what the disease is? It's everything. It's everything. That was what Bernard was saying. Bernard said, the germ is nothing and the terrain is everything. You see, but when you apply it in the trenches, when you need it, when you're scared and lonely, when your resources are dwindling, when everybody's telling you it's all in your head, that's when you learn how to apply these concepts. So look at Enderlin's cycle there. You're back there down on macrosynprotid. Now look what happens. Let's follow that cycle to the 5 o'clock position, the 4 o'clock position, the 3 o'clock position. Go to the 3 o'clock position on that cycle. Now look at that big asset, we call it. Look at that thing. Now look at these others here. Look at the 2 o'clock, the 1 o'clock. Now look at that thing at the 12:30 position. Look at what the degeneration phase looks like. A little spooky. It gets spooky. Now I'm going to blow your mind. This will blow your mind. Bernard, Endelin, Reif, Nessens, Reich, tons of others have basically said that the protit, that's at the 11:30 position, is really what you're looking at the 12:30 and 1 o'clock position. That those advanced, dangerous, degenerative forms, those dangerous microbes, and what are these? Are they viruses? Are they funguses? Are they bacterias? That's very debatable. Are they prions? Are they mycoplasma? Are they quarks? Are they neutrinos? We don't really know. We do and we don't. See, that's the problem. Well, what is it? How is it classified? You see, this is the problem. The men that understood it, the men that have been curious, the men that have applied these notions clinically and successfully, were not funded. They were generally disgraced. At best, they were just left alone. And so we really don't have ways to classify these in the classic microbial categories. This is the fringe, and yet it's as old as the microbe. But to blow your mind for 2016, understand the basic point here. The protit is really just these horrid-looking microbes in another form. Horrid-looking. Well, okay, they don't look so bad in that picture. Now, check this out. Go to the squares. Go to picture number 29. Go to picture 29. You see those? I see these all the time. That little dot that we call the protit morphs. This is part of a pleomorphic understanding of microbes. They change forms. That picture 29 there, that little monster there, is a dangerous animal. What is it? No one has the right to say. In context of the classic microbial classifications, you cannot say that's parasite. You cannot say that's bacteria. You cannot say that's a virus. You can simply use empiricism. Do you understand empiricism? Do you skeptics understand empiricism? Do you understand that empiricism is as valid as anything? Because it simply means I see it, it's bad. I do things, it goes away. And when it goes away, people feel better. And then I repeat that. That's empiricism. Do you know that much of allopathic medicine functions empirically? Do you know that many pharmaceutical drugs are used today and we don't understand the mechanisms? We don't understand how the drugs work, but we observe what they do. And they do the same thing every time. And once the FDA says it's not that dangerous to your health to do it, and in a cost-benefit sense, we can let the drug fly. Again, as always, this is straight talk. No one's knocking drugs. No one's knocking pharmaceuticals. You're going to tell me that there's no need for surgeries? You're going to tell me there's no need for antibiotics? You're just as much of a quack as anybody. The point, though, is this. There is no known antibiotic or drug that will get rid of that thing. And when you see that thing, people generally don't feel well. And when they do the things that we call health, they apply the laws of natural health to their daily routine, we begin to see those things disappear. Now, that's what we can tell you. Do we need to spend the next 100 years and $200 trillion in funding to add rhetoric upon rhetoric upon rhetoric to tell us what we know based upon empiricism. You know, we don't really know how Prozac works. We don't. The mechanisms for the SSRIs aren't generally that clear. We don't know why Neurontin, it's another popular antidepressant. We don't know why Neurontin, how it really works. And yet we use it. We market it. We publicize it. We only know about the results and that we can reproduce the results. And this is the point. Much of what comes down the pipe in the germ theory has been studied to the double-blind placebo scientific model. Much of what comes to us in the cellular theory, the terrain theory, is empirical. It's not that Nissen's and Reif and Enderlin wanted it that way. You have to understand, if you can't make big bucks doing it, go try getting funding from the Rockefellers or the Mellons. If it doesn't make big bucks, I mean really big bucks, the public doesn't get it. It lives in these subterranean caves. And you have to be able to discern. You have to be able to use your spirit. The authenticity of your spirit. You have to bring your ability to discern the truth. You have to bring to these hidden sciences and understand the pressures upon which these men have operated. Reif, Nissen's lives destroyed. But back in the 1850s and 1860s, you see, there was no real pharmaco. Bichat lived humbly, but he died esteemed. Bernard lived humbly and died esteemed. But the men that touted the terrain theory, after the pharmaceutical generations had become, those men have been sequentially destroyed every single time. And you suffer every single day because of it. Do you understand? Look at this. Look at that thing in picture 29. Does it take a genius to realize that if you've got a bunch of those floating around in the blood, you've got something to deal with? Okay. Let's go up. Let's go up. Look at picture video number 4. I want you to go to video number 4. Again, do yourself a favor. Turn off your volume so you can hear me tell you where to look. Go to the video number 4 at the top of the page. Now take a look. All right, get ready to switch it off when I tell you to. I'm at 4 seconds. I'm at 13 seconds now. I'm trying to find you a very good picture here. At 22 seconds. There you go. Stop at 22 seconds. Stop at 22 seconds. So put your cursor, your little finger there on 22. Now turn it on again and look at this thing. It looks like an octopus with multiple tentacles. Go ahead, look at it. Look at that thing. You got that floating around in your blood, named or unnamed, classified or unclassified. Do you really need to know what that thing is to know you need to get rid of it? Do it again. Go back to 25 seconds. Go back to 22 seconds and click it on again. Let's watch this octopus one more time. Watch it. Amazing, isn't that? How could that thing go unclassified? Do you understand that microbiology will look at that and keep going? To this date, these organisms have not been classified. They haven't. They come out of the terrain. They evolve from protists. They're part of a cycle. And they will morph into that. They're a part of the pleomorphic cycle. And they will morph into that if the terrain is not friendly to at least your life and your ability to thrive. And that's what Enderlin was saying. Does that not fascinate you? This is quackery. So picture 29 begins as a protid. Before you get to picture 29, you see macros and protids. Go to picture number. Here's another cycle you want to look at. Go to the Click the View article on the history of pleomorphic theory. The history of pleomorphic theory. And just click that. Actually, skip that. Skip that at second thought. What I want you to do is go to the YouTube. Go to the last of those videos. Video 1, video 2, video 3, video 4, video 5. Go to video 5. Click that on. We're going to talk about Gaston Nesson's French, Canadian, scientist, brilliant. I think he's still alive or he died very recently. His work is very current, very current. Part of that same lineage that began with Beauchamp. These men have never died. These men have passed their work on through the generations. This group of people will inherit the future in their righteous place. My point to you today, as you bring this to your colleagues, as you bring this to your family, as you bring this to your medical doctors, is that this does not eliminate the germ theory. This asks to stand on its own solid footing. And it certainly should. And had egos and money not gotten involved, it would have stood side by side. Sometimes it's most intelligent to hit it with a drug. Sometimes it's most intelligent to forget the germ and go after the terrain. That is the labyrinth. That is the dark labyrinth you find yourself in when you suffer decade after decade from chronic debilitating infectious illness. And for that matter, any illness. Why can't we do that? Why can't we absorb what's useful? Why can't we take the best from multiple sides? If we did, well, then we'd become masters at navigating the terrain. You'd understand how to invite your medical doctor into a higher level of medicine. And at the same time, you'd understand how to utilize your medical doctor for what he can provide that you need. There should really only be one medicine. It's called the medicine that works. And if you trace what we call Western allopathic medicine to its roots, there was always a naturalistic bunch of scientists standing side by side. It only makes sense. Sometimes you got to kill it with a drug, and sometimes at the expense of the terrain, if you kill it with a drug and don't heed the terrain, you're never going to get rid of the bug because the drug will cause a morphogenesis in the microorganism. What do you think Lyme is about? Lyme disease, Epstein-Barr, chlamydia. Tons of these infectious diseases you can't use drugs on. Those of you in the audience today who suffer from chronic infectious disease, name or unnamed. Named meaning we know what it is. It's Lyme. It's Bartonella. It's Babesia. It's three co-infections. It's so on and so forth. Or we don't know. We know it's infectious. You have infectious titers of different markers. You see, your CRP is very high, or your CD57 is alarming. But we don't know what bug it is. But we know you're infectiously sick, whoever you are. You have to look to the terrain. Once you don't see the drugs work, you have to bring in that other model. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Happy 2016 to you. We are off with a bang. Increasingly, the shows will get this way. Do I need to mention, if you're lost in the labyrinth of health, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. To recover from dark, lonely, treacherous illness. That is a true, true trial. That is a trial, and that is a journey for the soul. And the soul is as much a part of that as any pharmaceutical drug. Don't let anybody take that away from you. Make that your New Year's resolution to understand. Let's keep going here. Let's move right along. Now, I want to show you something. Go to that video, Gaston Nessens. Turn that little YouTube on. And enlarge that if you can. If you can't, just look at it. But we're on the video, the fifth video. And I want you to take it all the way. Hopefully you've learned to manipulate. I want you to take it to 5 minutes and 13 seconds. I want you to take the video to 5 minutes and 13 seconds. Can you do that? Now just turn it on at 5 minutes and 13 seconds. At 5 minutes and 16 seconds. At 5 minutes and 16 seconds, 17 seconds. Look at that. It looks like a big trunk of something. Looks like a stalk. It's called a phallus. It's part of a cycle. Go to picture number 21. Go to picture 21 now. So just scroll down to picture 21. This is a pleomorphic cycle. Look at the cycle, the circle again, like Enderlin's circle. And go to the 11 o'clock position on this circle. Do you see that picture again? It's just underneath the word ETAPE. This is in French. This is Gaston Nessens' 16-stage cycle of pleomorphism. And just look at the 11 o'clock position again under the word ETAPE. Do you see that big log there? It looks like a log underneath that word. That is called a phallus. When you were just looking at that video at 5 minutes and 16 seconds, that's called a phallus. The phallus is one of the more dangerous end-stage signs of a cycle that begins with harmless microbes. Now, got to be computer literate, right? That's the other New Year's resolution. Get good with that computer. Go to the top of the page. Look at the first video I have. I want you to go to the first video. Make sure your volume is off. That first video says phallus. I want you to see these in the blood. Now, there you have it. I'm at 1 second. And you see that big stalk? Look at that great, big, long stalk. That's called a phallus, T-H-A-L-L-U-S. This individual has a number of phalluses under the same slide. There's one, but there's also another one. There's another one intersecting it. In fact, in that slide, there were seven of those phalluses. To have seven slides, seven phalluses under a drop of blood is an alarming sign. It means that whatever these things are, you can call them Henry Kissinger if you want. It doesn't matter what you call these things. The point is, from Enderlin to Reif to Nessens to Claude Bernard to Bichon, when you see these things, it means in that pleomorphic cycle, you're on the wrong side of the fence. And you see these things all the time in people. All the time. This is what we mean by the pleomorphic microorganismic cycle. This is what the beginning of microbiology was also arguing for. This is what has died out, and this is what needs to be lifted back into the forefront of your mind. Not to eliminate the germ theory, but to ask for symbiosis with it. Do you understand? And the point is that these men, way back when, said the solution for this is to bring the terrain back into the correct cycle. Bring the terrain back into the correct cycle. So someone's going to listen to this show. If you're new to the show, welcome. Don't get nervous. Just get on the website when you have time. straighttalk.cc. Spend the $25, $24.95 for 250 shows, basically. That's pennies a show at this point. That's a lot of shows asking you to absorb what's useful. All those shows are about changing your terrain. You in the audience, my regular audience, all over the world, I am so happy to say each week I see people buy subscriptions in different countries. It's so exciting. It's so exciting to know that I can get to people. Over cheap microphone, I can get to people. Actually, this microphone is not cheap, but I can get to people for pennies in anywhere in the world. And they can absorb what's useful because of technology. Absorb what's useful. That's what 241 shows are about. So if you look at the lists of those shows, go to the lists of the shows. Do that now. Do what you don't do enough of. Go to show 238. Just the lists of the shows. Don't go to the shows. Why fasting can save your life. Here's your checklist. Have you explored fasting to change the intracellular terrain? Have you explored fasting? After you explored the biliary system, ask after you take the calcium oxalate out of your renal tubules, out of your kidney, after you degranulate your lymph, after you take the mucus and biofilms out of your colon, after you build the probiotics up in the gut ecology, do you then sequentially go to the water fast? I just said a mouthful. That's what we mean by the terrain. Do you understand that no matter what you do, when your muscles get soft, it means the blood is decongesting? That blood viscosity is of great importance to your health. And that the things you do to regulate blood viscosity, the herbs that you do, the exercise you do, the massage you get, all of which will make your muscles softer, less painful, more easily palpated, are telling you that the blood is decongesting. That's show 235, the relationship between blood and muscles. Are you talking to your bone marrow? Have you ever had your muscles peeled off the bone, the real deep stuff where the elbow is right on the bone and it feels good? Have you taken yourself to the point where you feel so flexible and your bones actually begin to bend? How many times have I said on these shows, like show number 233, that as those bones soften, as they actually begin to get flexible, yes, the bones have small degrees of flexibility that mean big things, because when the bones begin to soften, you will stimulate at a greater rate the production of stem cell. It's only common sense. It's only empirically proven. Meaning the monks and the advanced health fanatics that do these things will tell you. But you see, what do you do then? Go to the Rockefeller Foundation for $1 million worth of funding to prove to you what you already know is true? And science has no place for this, right? Yes, it does. Science does this all the time. This is why when you write off empiricism in the name of double-blind placebo, as if that's the only logic, that's the only functional model in Western medicine, people that say that are grossly mistaken. Empiricism is always used at Kaiser Permanente. So why not use empiricism in this sense? I want my audience to think about that. Think of those coffee enemas you do. Think of how good they make you feel. Think of how your muscles soften. Think of how it brings up your energy. And ask yourself, how can people argue against that? Ask yourself, where is the science? Hard to find science on those coffee enemas. It's there. But it's not an established science. Its strength is in its empiricism. I want you to get used to that word. There's great wisdom in putting your money on empirical evidence. There's great wisdom in doing that. It's a much faster way to navigate. It's 1960. If it was 1960 and I was on this show telling you, just use your head, cigarettes cause cancer. If I was on this show right now and it was 1960, it was January 2nd, 1960. We still had a political system we believed in. John F. Kennedy was president. I think he was president. 60? I believe he was just elected. The point is this. I could not get on this show and tell you with a double-blind placebo study that cigarettes cause cancer. But if you didn't know that in 1960, what were you thinking? You couldn't tell? Common sense couldn't have guided you to that conclusion? You hadn't seen, just in your everyday life, enough correlation? Empiricism. It failed you. And yet many knew not to smoke way back then. And this is my point today. Stretching the tendon. Have you been able to stretch the tendon? What is your sleep like? And we can go on and on and on. There is no show I have done, some more important than others, that does anything less than ask you to change your terrain. If you suffer from chronic illness, if you suffer from chronic infection, and the standard methods have failed you, change your terrain. Happy New Year. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you need a little help along the way. God bless you.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.